passed from death unto life.
Be gloriously converted. Boy, it thrills my soul. I thank God. The sorrow is those that have not been converted. Those that their will has not been broken. There is no faith. I know it's a lot of times I feel like we need to preach to them. I want to preach tonight a well-known passage, something I've preached often. Many of you probably heard me preach. But I want to preach in hindsight tonight. Such were some of you. I want to preach Psalm 107 just one more time. If God so permit, I'd like to preach this to my dying day. And he starts off with that blessed thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. How is your offering of thanksgiving today? Were you thankful? Do you thank the Lord for anything? To the self-made person, look at your hands and remember that God gave you them. To the man that's going on his own strength, look at your feet. Know that God gave them to you. If you have breath in your lungs, it's because God was merciful to you. That's why I said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. How is your thanksgiving today? Why is the Lord worthy of our thanks? We've said it many times here and around the United States in our own private life, and I've prayed this unto the Lord. He is good.
Amen.
Many years ago, I heard a preacher say, he said, you know, I thank my wife for what she does for me. And he said, but one day it dawned on me, I just need to thank her for who she is. And I was sitting there and said, you know, if I never thank God for anything else he's ever done, I ought to praise him for who he is.
Amen.
The Lord is good and doeth good. And you all have heard me repent over the error of my ways. I used to think that the doctrine of repentance is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. And I always thought that was the good things that God did. And I found out, no, it has nothing to do with what he is. It has to do with who he is.
Amen.
It's not what he's done. It's who he is that leadeth us to repentance. The Lord is good and doeth good. He's been good to all of us. He's been good in the storm. He's been good in the valley. He's been good in the darkness. The Lord is good. He's been good to you. Again, if you have breath in your lungs, you ought to praise him.
Amen.
You'd be a rebel to not praise him.
Hallelujah.
You ought to thank him.
Amen.
You ought to be dead in hell with your back broke. Folks gnashing on you at their teeth, falling in the midst of the pit. Burning in agony and suffering. But the goodness of God has sat you in the house of God one more time to hear the gospel truth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And we ought to praise him.
Amen.
Today, we ought to praise him.
Amen.
He said, well, isn't that a certain day? Yes. That's this day. That's tomorrow. That's the next day. The day after. The day after. It is a certain day. Today, you ought to just praise him and thank him.
Hallelujah.
You ought to bless his name. We sing the wonder of it all. You ought to just go ahead and praise him.
Amen.
Amen. Lift up your voice in song. Let God minister to you and bless his name for who he is.
Amen.
Not just what he's done.
Uh-huh.
And yet he's done many wonderful works.
Yep.
We're going to praise him for that. For his mercy endureth forever. And of course, one of those great novice verses that we all have loved, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if you're redeemed, say
so.
Amen. Right. Amen. Never gets old, does it?
Yep.
I remember I read that one time. I was just a new convert, and I stood up in testimony service and said, so, sat back down. They all thought I was an idiot. They were close, really honest, I guess, but it had nothing to do with that. Amen. I just read it. Now, listen, I was doing it to be funny, but they didn't have a sense of humor like most of you, so I just did it anyway. He said, who hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy? And so if you've been redeemed by the good grace of God, you ought to just praise him and thank him and say so, because he's redeemed you from the hand of the enemy. You're no longer under the power of Satan. You've been turned under the power of God, no longer living according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. No, God has raised you to walk in the newness of life.
Amen.
And he's worthy to be praised. And you ought to thank him. How was your Thanksgiving this morning? How was your Thanksgiving today? And my friend, we fall short when it comes to praising him. My old pastor had read in a book of a man in Wales. And they gave him a certain title, mocking and scoffing him, almost cursing at him. When God converted him, and he said those same steps he would take as a staggering drunkard, where he would stagger around the road, blaspheme and curse in the name of God, he would take those steps from the pub to his house with praise upon his lips, praise to our Most High God.
Hallelujah.
And so when we went to work, he'd go by the pub, the whole way to the pub, he'd praise and glorify God with a vocal, without pouring of his vocal voice and speech. On the way home from work, he'd go by the pub and he'd praise the name of the Lord the whole way to the house. And he said, for those years, I staggered to the pub blaspheming God. He said, how dare I walk that same road in newness of life and not lift up the same name that I blasphemed and cursed and mocked for all of those years? How's your praise?
Yeah.
Preaching in hindsight. But can I say to you, this could be hindsight for you today. He goes on and says, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. You can just take that for what that is, and you can get all upset, and you can try to dispensationalize that and hyper-dispensationalize that. But verse 47 to 106 says, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen. Where did he gather us from among the heathen? From the north, from the south, the east, and the west. He gathered us from among the heathen, brought us to himself, made us nigh by the blood of Christ, redeemed us unto himself. Why? Give thanks unto his holy name. The triumph in thy praise. There is triumph in praising him.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
There's triumph in praising his holy name.
Amen.
Well, that's about 4.5 minutes, and we're in verse 3. Let's see, 43, 41. Better get a drink. I was going to read down to verse 9 and start preaching. Thank the Lord. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. They were about to perish, about to go under. No strength of themselves. But then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble.
Amen.
What did he do? We read about it this morning. He delivered them.
Yeah.
The word of God said this, out of their distresses. Why? Because of his goodness. Because of his mercy. Because he is long-suffering. Because he is gentle. He's a kind Savior. He's a loving Savior. And his mercy reaches under the heavens and his truth under the clouds. And he's redeemed us out of all our sin, delivered us out of our distresses. And he said, led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation.
Amen.
And then for the first time in our passage, it has been my stump speech for going on 20 years. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness.
Amen.
And for his wonderful works to the children of men.
Amen.
Not just what he's done, although his wonderful works are wonderful.
That's right.
It is a wonder. It's a marvel, the work of God. And I look back at my life on how God skillfully and carefully guided me to repentance. And I realize it wasn't what he did for me, but it's that he loved me.
Amen.
And he cared for me. And he guided me skillfully to that place as no man could do. And I came to the end of myself. I had never pulled over. I told him the other night over in Shingle House, offended some of the older ladies. But I like to say that because it's reality. Mountain Dew in one hand and a dip cup in the other hand, making sure I didn't get them confused. And that's just the truth. My tobacco wasn't sending me to hell. Here's my sin. My sin had damned me. My sin had condemned me. And I loved my sin.
That's right.
I even loved it more than tobacco. By the way, God finally did deliver me from it.
Amen.
He was good to do so. Amen. It's amazing what a cyst on your lip will do for you. Amen. But long before that, he delivered me from my sin.
Amen.
Brought me out.
Amen.
It was his goodness that brought me out. It was his goodness that put me in the land of the living. Seated me in the house of God with the saints of God. That we also together could praise the Lord for his goodness. You see, why did you have some people stand up? Well, I've just been trying to get Lydia to shout for about a year and a half now, that's all. That was her opportunity and she blew it again. Amen. I've told her, whenever you run, I'm going with you.
Woo.
Megan too.
Woo.
Timothy's going to have to too.
Yeah.
Amen. But old folks be all upset about that, wouldn't they? Oh, if people got out of sorts, all that noise. Boy, I remember Brother Maury preached 3.5 years this summer. People said, all I heard was noise. I said, oh, glory to God. Thank God I heard something more than noise. It wasn't just racket. It wasn't just noise. It wasn't just people hollering. No, it was the goodness of God. It was God being manifest in praise. God used that man of God to minister to our hearts for 3.5 hours. And listen, you can go, you can murmur about all that and whisper it all about that. Just don't whisper to John Mark. Amen. Don't go murmuring to him about that. In fact, I say, John Mark, what did you think about that service when Brother Maury preached 3.5 hours and all those people were hollering and yelling? What did you think about that?
Edifying.
Edifying. Amen. Amen. Were you bored? Oh, okay. I just want to make sure about that. I don't know, about 1.5 hours in, down here at the altar, John Mark sat down. Anybody up here noticed there was just different countenance upon his face?
Right.
Testified to finding saving faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the world saw noise.
That's right.
The world heard noise. They understand the goodness of God. They understand how good God is. But they take for granted every breath. They take for granted every heartbeat. They take for granted all the things of life. It's just the goodness of God. God's been good to us. God has helped us. God has sustained us. God has fed us. God has given us provision for this day. And they take it all for granted that tomorrow they'll have it again.
Yep.
And they never lift up their voice in praising. Oh, the men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Why ought they do that? For he satisfieth the long soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. We were there earlier today, but I'm going to read Psalm 34 and 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But listen to me. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing.
Amen.
You seeking the Lord? you'll not want any good thing. That's God's word. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. God will give you every need you have if you'll seek Him. And the world's chasing all these dreams of wealth and riches and comfortable retirement. But God said, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing.
Amen.
And yet men will not praise Him. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth. That's an ongoing tense. ETH. That means He filled our souls yesterday. He filled our souls today, and I have confidence in the word of God that God is going to fill my soul tomorrow.
Amen.
He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Amen.
I asked someone earlier today, I said, if a man is truly seeking God, can he find Him?
Yes.
If a man's truly seeking God, can he find God?
Amen. Yes.
He said He filleth the hungry soul with goodness.
Amen.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they shall be filled. For they shall be filled. Last night, Pastor Hayne made a comment after the message, and I pondered that a little bit. It's something that was laid heavy upon me, even as I went to bed last night late. And I laid there and I pondered this, and I realized that when men are seeking God, they're seeking righteousness.
Amen.
Not an experience.
Right.
That's good.
And a lot of folks want an experience.
Yep.
Right.
Without righteousness.
Right.
They want an experience without God.
Yep.
They want my way.
Yep.
I said it, quoted this pulpit 100 times, if I've quoted it once. Brother Billy Mitchell, many years ago, he said, if God has to move 1 inch to save you, He's not God. God has never come down off His throne to meet somebody on their terms.
That's right. Amen.
Shall we go into heaven? Ascend into heaven? Bring God down?
No.
Are we going to go up and bring God to our level? Are we going to demand that God come to where we are? Are we going to demand that God meets us on our terms? Am I going to shake my fist and say, Lord, You promised, You told me, You said it. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, the word of God said, they shall be filled. He said, open your mouth and I will fill it. Now, will, there is a connotation that's God's will to fill your mouth. God wants to give you this great gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants it so much, He said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then men say, well, God's just not doing it. But He's willing. And so if He's willing, how can we indict Him?
That's
it. I hear saved folk, I feel like God's not speaking to me anymore. He wants to.
Yeah, that's right.
Say, God's so distant from me. Well, go read Footprints in the Sand. Because if you're distant from God, that's edifying more than the Bible is for most people. So go find something else to edify. Get a good book of poetry. Go get a good gospel hymn and sing. I'm so far from God, I'm so distant from God. Well, He's never moved.
Amen.
He said, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it.
Amen.
That's the bread of life, by the way.
Amen.
That's why He said that.
Amen.
I am the bread of life. By the way, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, and He said you'd be filled, what's He going to fill you with? That bread? And I believe, and I, listen, don't get out of sorts with me. When David said, I'm young and once old, I'm not seeing the righteous forsaking nor his seed begging bread. I understand the connotation there. But the reason David never saw him begging bread is because the bread of life sustained them.
Amen.
That manna from heaven, angels' food. You'll not want with him. People say, well, don't some Christians starve to death? Well, you hear a lot of reports about that. I never met one yet. Looking around here, a lot of us are a long way away.
Thank God.
Just the goodness of God.
That's right.
We had a fine meal today. I mean, a fine meal. We had non-Philly cheesesteak, Philly cheesesteaks. Our hostess said, I don't know how to make, I've never had a Philly cheesesteak. I immediately rebuked her husband and said, you need to come down to Philadelphia and visit. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's worth the trip.
Uh-huh.
It's worth the trip, Bob. Just get a Philly cheesesteak.
Yep.
We go to Tony Luke's.
Just
experience. I told her, I said, I got a prep. I said, wit whiz. Done. Okay. Go to Tony. I told us we'll go three times. We'll go to Tony Luke's, go up to Steve's up north. On the way out of town, we'll stop at Leo's, or we'll go out to Las Vegas. Okay, we're not going to go downtown with all the tourist traps. I mean, take care of it. Had a fine meal today. I'm full beyond the pale. Philly cheesesteak does me good. Thank God. Even had keto bread. And for those who've never had keto bread, thank the Lord for it.
Yeah.
It's my fault for getting fat. My fault for having diabetes 7 years ago. So don't feel sorry for me. But if you ever have to eat yourself, that's all right. The Lord sustained us physically. And most of us are so content with that. I'll go up tonight to the Vadis's. I'll probably have some nuts. Probably has to be some pork rinds. Somebody just ought to run right there and shout a little bit. Amen. Have some skins. Probably have a little bit of sugar-free Jello. Maybe some peanut butter and whipped cream. Amen. A little bit of sugar-free diet ice water. That's about what that stuff tastes like. And I'll go to bed and I'll be plumb satisfied. But I might not have spent 1 minute with God. And I'm satisfied. I got everything I wanted today.
Yeah.
Everything I needed was supplied to me. I had clothing. I had shelter. I had protection. We had a warm house. Food on the table. But in all of it, some of us didn't lift up our hands one time and bless the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And thank Him for His goodness. And thank Him for His provision. So, if you need to, let's go right ahead.
Thank you, God, for what you've done for me. God, thank you for saving
David.
Me. God, thank you for helping me.
I want to thank the Lord.
God, I want to thank you for what you've done for me.
I want to thank Him and bless His name. Amen. I just want to thank Him. I want to just lift up your hands and praise Him and thank Him for His goodness.
Glory to God.
Filled your belly. Gave you everything you needed today. Shed the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, shed for your sins. Redeemed you, saved you, called you with a holy calling, sanctified you, justified you in Jesus Christ, seated you in heavenly places in Christ, raised you up to walk in the newness of life. He's worthy to be praised. We ought to thank and praise
Him. God, thank you for giving me a word.
And if you're lost, you can still praise Him, okay? You ought to just thank Him, you're not in hell. Thank Him, you're not burning. Thank you, you're not in the lake of fire. Thank you. Bless His name. You have breath in your lungs and a heartbeat.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah, young lady.
Thank you, God.
Hey, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you. Lord, praise Him. Oh, we're so selfish, so stubborn.
That's right.
Delivered us, brought us out, cleaned us up. I first went to church, and they moved all those people away from me. I probably earned it. I don't know what I wore to church. I knew I had no sense to wear pants to church. You say amen on that. I wasn't male, after all. I had my pants on to church, probably had a shirt. I doubt I had a button on it. I don't know if I owned a shirt with a button. It wasn't a uniform back in those days. I sat down in the house of God. They moved everybody away from me. Pushed everybody to the side, kind of. So put some men near me to keep an eye on me. They knew what I was going to do. But you know what they didn't know? All that was in the past.
Praise the Lord.
It was all behind me. It was all washed in the blood. It wasn't covered. It wasn't under. It wasn't hidden. He washed me in his own blood.
Amen.
I want to thank you. Well, we're in verse 9. Better get another drink of water. I hope he filled your hungry soul with goodness. He said he would. So if he didn't fill you, you may not be hungry enough. And he says, such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down. There was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he saved them out of their distresses. And I love these next four words. He brought them out.
Amen.
You could run a long time on that fuel. He brought them out. What did they bring me out of? Where do you begin? Life of sin. Life of bondage. Life of wickedness. The horrors of my life. The destruction of my life. The damnation that was my life, condemned in bitterness, condemned in malice, condemned in hate. And he brought me out and seated me in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And he brought me out, he brought down their heart, he brought them out of darkness, verse 14, the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Amen. You see, he intermingles these as he speaks of those that have been delivered. It's his goodness, but it's also his wonderful works. Mm-hmm. What is that wonderful work? I'll give you a little hint. When there were bitter waters there at Marah, what did he do? He said, throw in a tree. It's the goodness of God.
Amen.
The bitter waters of my soul were made sweet when he threw in a tree.
Changed everything.
And it wasn't just a tree. It was Jesus Christ who had been nailed to the tree. And my friend, those bitter waters have been sweetened in Jesus Christ. All the malice is gone. The bitterness is gone. The hatefulness is gone.
Hallelujah.
Because of the cross.
Amen.
And that is a wonder.
Amen.
I didn't have the ability in myself. I didn't have the ability to stop it all. I didn't have the ability to put it on hold. Didn't have the ability to escape. Didn't have the ability to get out. Lord knows I tried. I tried to get out of everything. I tried to get out of sin. I tried to get out of debauchery. I tried to get out of foolishness. I was filled with all lasciviousness. I had no ability of my own to stop. I could do it short term. I could do it for months. I could do it for sometimes 2 or 3 months. But what I could not do is escape the bondage of sin. But then the goodness of God.
Amen.
You know, the grace of God hath appeared to all men. Now, I know that kills the fatalist. Destroys the Calvinist. Teaching us the denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. That's what the grace of God teaches. I look back at my life. The times God tried to stop all the wickedness of my heart. God would send people by my way. Some folks I went to high school with, won't say too much about it, but they came in probably about when I was in 10th grade or so and just had reputations of just absolute debauchery in the high school. And the mockery was because their daddy was a preacher in a Bible church. And I remember working at Staples in 96. And that preacher came into Staples where I work, gave me a Bible tract. I remember it was a Darrell Waltrip tract. I used to need naps, and so I'd watch NASCAR. You say, why would you nap? Well, you watch NASCAR, you'll nap too. I turned the volume up in case it was a crash. Oh, great, go back to sleep. He gave me a life story of Darrell Waltrip. And he said, young man, have you ever been saved? You realize that was the grace of God? God put somebody else in my life trying to stop the flood of sin. I look back at the times that God would send somebody by with a word or a message or just some kindness that God showed me. The day I got saved, God put a man in my life and showed me an act of kindness that I could not escape. That's why we do good to all men, by the way. Especially those, the household of faith. And God put that man in my life. I could not escape that kindness he showed me that day. And as I got in that car that day, I'm wrestling back and forth, having an understanding that, listen, these church people are just like me. I'm one of them. That's why he showed me kindness. He knows I'm a Christian. He knows I'm a church person. And I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't a church person. But in my own thinking, I thought I was. And finally, the Holy Ghost said, no, this is what you really are. And he was gracious to me. The goodness of God, that grace that appears to all men, God uncovered my life to me and showed me what I really was. You know when salvation came? Right about then.
Amen.
I could no longer hold my own against a holy God.
That's right.
And I just had to agree with God.
Amen.
And I wept on the way home. And I wept out the house. And I remember weeping into the night hours. I remember going out and walking out in the field. Back behind the trailer out there and walking through that field, looking up into the heavens, just marveling that something had taken place in my life. Something had overthrown me. Something had given me peace. Something had given me joy. And that something was the person of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
You say, how'd that hold up? Well, I made it so far. I guess if I endure to the end, maybe I'll be saved. Boy, that's good doctrine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, brother, you just keep on enduring. Maybe you'll get in. Well, I'm as good as there. I just got to live my life. Then I'll be there. Don't let that bother you. And saved by the marvelous grace of God, the goodness of God, the wonderful work of God. For he hath broken the gates of brass, verse 16, cut the bars of iron in sunder. And he said, fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of all their distresses. What's the difference between a cry and a call? They call it the cry of a fox. That baby crying. You ever heard it? She says, a baby crying. No, it's just a fox. That yowl. That screech. The cry of a screech owl. That's what they call it. By the way, you hear a screech owl. I don't care if you're 6'5", 260 pounds or not. You'll duck. Amen. That thing gets above you in a tree and screeches. Listen, I've laid on the ground, sucked my thumb, and called for my mom, and I was 42 years old. The cry! And the distress, you know what they did? Help! You said, well, I can't call on God. I didn't say call, I said cry.
That's good.
Desperation.
Amen.
Nowhere else to turn.
Amen.
You'd do good some of you go up there and look at a snowy sky and just cry.
Right.
You feel so helpless, you feel so alone, you feel so desperate, nowhere else to turn. You tried everything. He heard that cry. And he came to them in their distress. And what did he do? What did God tell you? I'm not making a doctrine, I'm just stating what the Bible said. He saved them out of their distresses. My children cry, scared, desperate. Listen, daddies, we're kind of shaky. Mamas, no problem. We have every child in here in that back room, and just one of them cried. All the moms wouldn't jump up. Just one mom would jump up.
That's right.
If another one cried, just one mom would jump up. Now, if it was all men's meeting, we'd all jump up. Who was that? He hears that cry. And he said, it'll save him out of all their distresses. Cry of desperation, a cry of hopelessness. He sent his word and healed them. And then he did this. He delivered them from their destructions.
Amen.
The thing was about to put them under. When they got to the bottom of what they had built and everything was destroyed, there was a rock that they could stand on. That rock is Christ.
Amen.
When he delivers out of destruction, he'll give you a new hope. But we're not desperate. Not yet. We had food. We had shelter. We had everything we needed today. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Declare his works with rejoicing. They go down to the sea in ships. They do business in great waters. There's a whole doctrine in there. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They're in trouble, friend. Everything they have has been torn and rent. Their soul is in danger. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. And they're at their wits' end. When they come to their wits' end, what do? They cry. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And again, he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Peace, peace, be still.
Amen.
You know, it's our theme song, Youth Week, has been since day one. And I marvel, master, the tempest is raging, the storm. The agony. No glimpse of light. Darkness. The swells. The wind. The rain. The awfulness of the storm. Every time you get to verse 2, you realize that they're seeing through the storm, seeing something greater than the storm. All of a sudden, they realize there's hope. But then when you get down to verse 3 of that song, it's the reason I love to sing it. Master, the terror is over.
Amen.
Done. The elements sweetly rest. Why? I got something in here. The heavens within my breast. The winds and the waves shall obey my will. I always did with the choir. Peace, peace. Be still.
Amen.
You get to your wits' end and you cry. The Lord can deliver you.
That's right.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works. Two, that's an action. The children of men. Pastor Hayden.
Amen.